I have a unique message this morning, unique at least for me, and perhaps for you, but unique for me. We are 3 months into the year. Today represents the beginning of the fourth month of this year. In the month of December last year, the Lord began to drop very clear, specific words and direction into my heart, into my wife's heart, for this year in the life of this church. And so I want to do a reminder sermon today. I'm going to share with you from the Word of God and share with you the words that the Lord has given to us. Because the Scripture is without controversy to be the foundation of our faith. Lord Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and the Word of God is absolute authority. It really is. Okay. However, God's not a deaf-mute God. I said God's not deaf, nor is He mute. God is a God who hears the cries of His people, and He is a God who is still speaking. As a matter of fact, the whole Bible, the entire Bible, you know, we talked to about the two-kingdom conflict thing, but the whole Bible is really a story of God who speaks. God speaks. And as my friend Don Couch says, one word from God can change your life. One word from God can change your life, and you'll never be the same, you know. I stand here before you today because of a word from God. We had the funeral of Pastor Frank Adams last Monday. I think it's Monday. And we went over there, and all these people stood up and talked about what an amazing prophet of God he was, and he was that. But in 1983, in October, the third week of October 1983, Frank Adams captured Miss Jenny and I in a tent meeting in Owosso when it was colder than it should have been. And gave us a word, and the word of the Lord was about this church. We didn't know it at the time. It was about this church. It was about the situation that was here. And we had the word of the Lord when God opened the door for us to come to Claremore Christian Fellowship at that time. And we were prophesied, but we are here by the word of the Lord, by the man of God. And we've been here 29 years. Tomorrow begins year 30. You know what happened to Jesus when he turned 30? Well, now that's another thought maybe for next week as we enter the 30th year. I have great expectations for what God is doing at Life Changer. I am not ungrateful for what He has done. I am not ungrateful for what took place here today when people were being prayed for. I am not ungrateful. Dennis stood before us today and gave testimony of the grace of God that some 20 years ago now, 15 years, how long y'all been married? 12 years, so about 15 years ago, 15, 16 years ago, of the grace of God that Dennis encountered when he ran into me as a teacher at Oral Roberts University, and then came here among us, and the good things that God has done, the kingdom things that God has done. There are many people who have that testimony. It would be interesting if we had a 30-year anniversary or something like that next year, and we tried to bring back the people who God has touched their lives over that period of time so that they could stand before this congregation and share what God did in their lives in those days that have brought them to where they are today. You would be surprised. I think I would be surprised. And so I'm thankful. I'm glad for all that God has done. I'm thankful for what took place this morning in prayer. I'm thankful for the activity of the Holy Spirit in this house and among this people. We are unique in that regard, in that every time you come here, you will meet with God. You have the divine opportunity that anytime you come into this place for worship or prayer or anything else, you have the opportunity because the Holy Spirit lives in this house. And I'm thankful for that. But I want more. I believe there's more to be had. More of Him in manifestation. More of His glory. More of His power. More. So the word of the Lord came to us in December and said these words. You will achieve the dream by building a team in 2013. I like things that rhyme. I'm not a poet. But I like things that rhyme, and a lot of times it seems like, you know, most all the Old Testament was written in some kind of prophetic prose. The prophets, the Psalms, the Proverbs, a lot of the content of the Old Testament is written. And I wonder if God just likes to rhyme things. You know, and he can rhyme in Hebrew and Aramaic and English and all kinds of ways. I mean, language is not an issue for God. He's not confused by languages. That's what happened to us. Y'all remember Tower of Babel? I mean, okay, got it. Okay. Building teams. I would have said I was a good team builder all along until I saw that word. My wife wrote it in the middle of the night. Miss Jenny has been a prophetic voice, is the prophetic voice, principal prophetic voice in this church, has been all these years. Appreciate her grace and gift in that arena. Of course, I appreciate her for a lot of things, but I really appreciate the fact that she does hear from God. I have to be careful because sometimes she'll say something and I just assume it's from God. We've gotten, after all these years, we've been married 38 years, she'll say, "Now, Pastor, this is not a word from God. This is me." However, I know over the years, just me often has the flavor of the Holy Ghost in it. I hope you have that relationship with your spouse, that you can hear God in their voice. That's a good thing. So later on in the month of December, around Christmas time, I was praying one day and the Lord said, you know, if you're going to, because I've been asking, "Lord, I want more, want more, want more." Mike Holman, I don't know, 15 years ago, stuck little pieces of paper all over this building. You still can find them every once in a while that say, "More Lord." He stuck them on everything you could stick them on. There was a time you couldn't walk through this building without seeing something over something stuck to something that said, "More Lord." That was the doings of Mike Holman. I remember that. We've been getting more too, Mike. So we've been praying for that. I've been saying, "Lord, I'm grateful. I don't want to be unthankful. I will not be unthankful. I don't care what current circumstance I'm in. I don't care what current craziness seems to be going on in my life. I will not be unthankful." I hope you have that same attitude in you, that it is proper to be thankful for what the Lord has done and is doing, no matter what pressure you may feel at this moment. The key to getting beyond that pressure is to acknowledge God and to be thankful for what He is and who He is in your life, and He will bring you wisdom. David is right. All you need is one word from God. The book is full of words from God, and the Holy Spirit is still speaking the words of God. Let me get to our text. In Luke chapter 5, this is early in the ministry of Jesus. This is not crucifixion time. This is early. In verse 33, "Then they said to him, 'Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink?' And he said to them, 'Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and they will fast in those days.' Then he spoke a parable to them." Everybody say parable. Parable. Now, one of the things we know about parables is Jesus used parables so that people who weren't supposed to get it didn't get it, but so that the people who could understand would get it. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, "It has been given to you," everybody say me, "to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God." God's will for you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is not that you run around in a mystery, flummoxed all the time, not wondering what God's up to in my life. That's not the will of God. God wants you to get it. He wants you to have understanding. He will make Himself plain to you. The Word of God is not written so that it's hard to understand. It was written actually so that you could get it. And by the way, if you're around preachers who make it hard to understand, quit listening to them. If you listen to TV guys and radio guys and tape guys and computer guys and internet guys, and when you finish listening to them, you may feel real good, but you're confused, don't go back and dip in that well again. That was not in the notes. That's just for free. God didn't want us confused. If the revelation is so deep that it just makes your brain hurt to think about it, it's not deep revelation. It's squirrely. And usually dangerous. Hmm. No one puts a, this is verse 36. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes it tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. Now, Reba might understand this. She's a seamstress. Some of you others who are seamstress might get this. You know what the rest of us, we read that and we say, oh yeah? I'm sure somebody knows what he's talking about. But in his day, just like, I don't know if you buy real cotton stuff today, it shrinks. How many of you bought something that fits you one day and after you washed it, you needed to lose 10 pounds? Anybody had that experience? Yeah, that's what we're talking about here. Talking about shrinkage. Talking about new stuff that's not shrunk. That's why we have people marketing pre-shrunk stuff to us. So when you try it on, you wash it, it'll still fit you after you, you know. And Jesus is saying, you don't take unshrunk stuff and put it on. You don't take an old garment that's already been worn and experienced cleansing and that sort of thing and put a new piece of cloth on it, because if you do, when the natural course of that material proceeds, it will tear it apart. It won't work. And then he goes on to say, no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Well, in December, the Lord said to me, if you really want to move with God and if you really want more of me, we're going to have to change the wineskin. Well, in context, now this parable actually appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke in what's called the Synoptic Gospels, in all of them. And I'm going to go back to Matthew, I think, here in just a minute. But in this story, this is an idea. The religious leaders, remember how it started? They'd come and said, well, your disciples aren't John the Baptist. I mean, he's the new kid on the block, and even his disciples fast. Yours just eat like pigs. They walk through the fields on the Sabbath. They just pick the corn. They eat the wheat. They just do whatever they just do. And so, why? And it was a question about their religious traditions. It wasn't even a question about the law of God. It was a question about their religious traditions. Okay? And then they go ahead and they said, and so Jesus says, look, the bridegroom's here. You know, hello, we're having a party. We had a birthday party for Sarah yesterday, my granddaughter. Now, if you were preaching, you could talk about your grandkids. But I'm preaching, so I'm going to talk about my grandkids. And we had a birthday, and you know what? She just ate her cake and ice cream. She didn't feel like she should suffer through because it was party time. And when she got Papa's present, she said, it's mine. And I said, original sin is at work. You know what that means? Original sin means we're all selfish. And she's not being selfish, but I just made me smile. I said, yeah, it's yours, girl. And it was pink. And little Sarah just likes pink. If you look at her today, she's sharing some kind of pink tutu or purple tutu, something like that. She just likes, she painted our recliner pink one day. She had Miss Jenny's nail polish, and she said, I paint pink. We had to drive a new recliner under that one. When the bridegroom is present, it wasn't necessary for fasting and prayers because of his presence, right? But one day he said, I'm going to be gone. But just so you guys get it, you don't take a piece of new cloth and attach it to an old cloth, because once it gets to wearing, it's going to pull apart and be destroyed. In the same way, they knew about wineskins. They knew that if you put new wine, which is going to bubble and ferment and stir and do some stuff, if you put it in an old skin that's kind of stuffy, rigid, and unwilling to change, the change in the new wine and the effervescence that's in the new wine is going to cause that old skin to be ripped open, and the wine's all going to be lost. The move of God must have structure. Don't say amen too quick. The move of God, the stirrings of God, the effervescent power of God, That thing that thrills your soul, it needs a container. It needs a structure. It needs a place that can be flexible with it, that can mold and go with it. It needs that. In December, when the Lord said to me, you want new wine, you're going to have a new skin. And I immediately started figuring it out. Okay, I've got to change this and change that and change this. And I had me a list going. And man, I'm loving that. Who's this going to offend? And who's this going to mess with? And who's going to leave over that? And I was working. And the went 7 days, the Lord said to me in prayer again, what makes you think you know what I'm talking about? You got to watch this stuff when you get a word from God. Because the word from God, you can't assume you know what it means. You got to wait on both the interpretation and the explanation and the confirmation and all kind of other I-O-N words I can't think of at the moment. Implementation. Thank you, David. That's a good one. Put that on my list. You know, and so I said, Lord, I'm sorry. What do you want to do next? And that's when he said to me, I want you to start teaching foundations. I don't know if you remember it or not, but all the way through January and February and half of March, we talked about church government. Elders and deacons and qualifications and what that looks like and some things about that. We spent like 6, 7 weeks, 8 weeks on that. I know we were all tired, but we were getting, it was fun, wasn't it? We learned some things about it. It was great. And then we hit the Easter season, and so we've just been doing that. And so I'm just reminding you where we are and where we're going this year. So I began to pray, all right, Lord, I yield. You know, I'd like to think I'm not a controlling person. Because, you know, everybody who says anything about control always talks about it being bad. You know, you're a controlling person. It's somebody else's issue, you know. And so I like to think I'm not a controlling person, but the Lord's made it real clear to me that I'm more of a controlling person than I was comfortable with admitting. Now, you know what all that meant, real simple? It means he convicted me of my sin and I had to repent. And so you can talk about that conviction stuff all kinds of ways. You can talk about it nicely or you can talk about it ugly. The point is, when you need to change, that means repentance. As my friend in Georgia, not Dennis, but my another friend in Georgia says, you have to rethink a thing. He speaks a different kind of English. Not Texan. Wineskins have to change. So we began to pray about that, began to seek the Lord about that. And I noticed this very last verse in this passage, in verse 39. Kenny, if you can throw that up there for me. It says this, and no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new. For he says, the old is better. Now, I'm not a wine drinker. I mean, really, that's never been anything that I've had a desire, and I never had any that I liked. It's probably a good thing, because if I ever tasted something that I liked that had alcohol in it, I might be more than fat. So you'll get that tomorrow. Anyway, and so did you hear those words? And no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. Now, you know, I've read stories and heard things on the news about people who pay insane amounts of money for liquor that's been aged a long time. Now, any of you willing to admit it in church, some of you, I don't know, you can tell me whether they tell me that the old wine is better. It tastes better. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe we're all so pristine and pure, we don't know what we're talking about, but anyway. But the Bible says the old is better. They like it better. They don't like the new. I learned this about balsamic vinegar. You get the stuff that's been aged 40 years, you got to pay $40 for it. I said, well, am I buying liquor here? What am I buying, wine here? But when I got served some that had been aged for 40 years, there was a palpable difference. In of all things, vinegar. Balsamic vinegar that's been in a keg for 40 years tastes way better than the stuff that you get for 89 cents at Walmart. Which may have passed by balsamic wood somewhere in its processing. And that just explained to me, you know, in church life, we like things to be the same. I mean, it's comfortable. It's not a bad thing. It's not evil. It's not like we're bad people. It's just we get used to things. We get used to things. We get used to sitting where we sit. And if we happen to have an influx of people like we did last week, on Resurrection Sunday when the place was full, some of you didn't get to sit where you normally get to sit. You immediately come to the place where you like the old better than the new. Some of you like to have a chair between you and whoever's sitting beside you. And some of you even want a chair between you and your wife. Now, I don't know about that. And then when it's so crowded in here, you got to sit right up next to somebody who wore a cologne you're not familiar with. You were living in this verse. You are living in this verse. You like the old better. When Chris has to be out of town and Sean leads or David leads or somebody else leads, you are living in this verse. Because we like what we like. We like what we're comfortable with. We like what's familiar. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to surrender that if we want new wine. Now, I don't know if you noticed or not, but I didn't do any announcements last week. I didn't do prayer last week, and I didn't receive the offering last week. I didn't do it again this week. I just want to say thank you to the scouts and to Gavin for their work. But I didn't do any of that stuff. Because two Saturday nights ago in prayer, the Lord said to me, you don't need to be doing anything but preaching right now. I don't know if I'll go back doing something. He just said, you don't need. And so I reminded those guys last night, Steve, you're praying today, and David, you're receiving the offering. That's who he told me to have do it. It's changed. Well, I want pastor to receive that. You're living in this verse. Well, I don't like the way we changed children's church and we divided up the class. You're living in this verse. We like the old better. I've enjoyed Sean. I'm glad God sent him. I mean, I'm glad for a lot of reasons, but I'm just glad he's been here and I wasn't in panic trying to find somebody. Of course, I don't do that anymore. I call Gary. And Gary handles it. And all I do is on Saturday, usually I send him a text and say, is it done? Or I'll call and ask him, are we good to go? He'll say, we're good to go, Pastor. And I'm in rest. We achieved the dream by building a team in 2013. That's what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen. So when things change around here, let me talk about some things. In 2 weeks, we're going to have an outreach. 2 weeks, we're going to start our first outreach for this year. We're going to be doing it down on the corner of, I don't know what the corner is. DuPont and Chambers. Thank you. And we're going to be giving away hot dogs and pop and kids' games next Saturday afternoon. Craig needs some folks to go with him and pass out flyers all in Chad and Sarah's neighborhood. Where are you, Chad and Sarah? There you are, all around your neighborhood. And we're going to be just serving people and presenting them with the gospel and sharing with them and loving on them and feeding some folk and trying to do some things that will be a blessing to them. And we're going to be doing that on April the 20th. And so next week they're going to be promoting the thing. And Craig, see Craig, stand up, Craig. This is Craig. He, you can talk to him. You like doing that kind of adventuresome stuff. And if you don't, but God's speaking to you, go see Craig. 2 to 4. Just be 2 hours, and he will honor those boundaries. And the more, the less time. More people, less time. We're going to pass out flyers, knock on doors. It's going to be changed. You're going to be living in this verse. We're having change in the youth department. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. But Steve and Tiffany are going to be doing some different things. Kyle is going into a full-time preparation to become a pharmacist, and his time availabilities are going to go. And I want him to keep him doing media and doing the thing he has enough time to do. And so God has directed us to ask Craig Hawthorne not only to coordinate our outreach this summer, but he's going to be serving with the youth department, and he'll be the youth leader starting after camp. And no one having drunk the old wine immediately desires the new. How many of you know Craig will be different than Steve? How many of you know Sean is different from Chris? Right? How many of you know Steve prays over people different than I do? David receives offering different than I do. New wineskins. Now that's what we're doing this year, guys. That's what God is doing among us. Because I want more. Because people in this church, maybe not all of us, but most of us want more. And we don't even know what we're asking for. You know, and see, you don't get to control it. More importantly, I don't get to control it. I love that song Sean was singing this morning. I don't think I'd ever heard it before. I don't remember the words at the moment, but I was singing. I said, yes, Lord, I want more of you. And if I say I want more of you, Lord, that means I've got to like the new. New expressions of worship. New expressions of service. New expressions of whatever we do. New expressions of receiving offerings. New expressions of how we pray. New expressions of worship. You know, if all of a sudden you get overcome and your foot starts tapping, but you don't ever move in church, and you're not going to raise no hands and this hand starts to twitch, you should yield to the Holy Ghost. You're living in this verse. Having tasted the good things that God is doing among us here at Life Changer, we love it. We love it. We love it. We love to see people healed. We love to see people delivered. We love to see the move of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. We love it. I love it. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. But if I want more, it's going to look different. It's going to look different for me. It's going to look different for you. It's going to look different. We're going to sing different songs. We're going to turn the lights down, and if you can't see, you might stumble over something. You know, we're living, ladies and gentlemen, Life Changer Church in 2013, and maybe for the rest of our lives and until Jesus comes, we are living in verse 39. And maturity demands that we receive the new wine. It is an immature thing to be offended over change. So, well, I'm just uncomfortable. Uncomfortable has never killed anybody. Well, I didn't get to sit in my seats. I tell you, the Sunday we changed these chairs, I knew it was going to be a spiritual test for many people. And it was for some of you, because y'all told me. I see that you settled down and found your place again. We're living in this verse. Amen. Listen, that's what we're doing this year. So, I just wish God would get done with it so we could just get back to ordinary. David introduced me to a new phrase. Are you ready? The new normal. The new normal is abnormal. The new normal. The new normal is we don't know what's going to happen. Steve came to me this morning and said, Pastor, do you mind if we just pray for people right now? I said, why? You know what I'm thinking? Hey, we got communion this morning. Dennis and Carrie are going to be here. I need to talk to and say thank you to these people that worked out in the field all day yesterday. Well, you know, I got these things. My mind is there. You know, and he says, do you mind if we just pray now? I'm thinking, poor Sean, we're about to throw him in the deep end. I said, why? And he said, well, I just kind of feel like the Holy Spirit's stirring. I said, let's do it. Listen, guys, it's always been my value. I would rather obey God and make a mistake than to be afraid of making a mistake and not risk obeying God. In my deepest insecurity, I would rather obey God and mess up trying to obey God than to be safe and God not be with me. That may be that's a core value for me. And some of you that's been here a long time, you know I've done it. I'd messed up too bad, but I would rather be out of my comfort zone. I'd rather put you out of your comfort zone than miss God. So we're living in this verse. Put it up there. Kenny, is it up there? And no one having drunk old wine immediately desires good. Hey, I like the way we do it. Esther, I like the way we do it around here. Marnell, I like you sitting right over there. I like the way we do it around here. You know, I like seeing JR up here jumping around. I like the way we do it. I like the way we do it here. I like the songs we sing. I like the music. I don't want it too loud. I like the way it is. I'm getting to the place where I don't want it too soft because I can't hear it. So, you know. Next month I'm going to be 62, and I think I'm going to be crazy. I don't mean insane, but I'm going to be like Helen. I've been thinking about letting my hair grow out. I've been thinking about letting my hair grow out and see if I can get that Helen look going. If you come tomorrow, you see Thomas is wearing a spike now. I told him the other night, I said, hey, Thomas, if I could grow my hair out quick enough, I'd shave both sides and spike it, but I don't have enough up there to grow it. And no one having drunk the old wine immediately desires the new. Call attention to the word immediately and we'll be finished. Immediately, it doesn't mean you don't desire it later, but at the first feeling, it's just a little uncomfortable. At the first moment, it's a little bit, immediately, but that becomes the new normal. And it won't be the new normal long, because then that will need to change to take the new wine. So real Christianity is about embracing change, even when it's terrifying. I just don't think it's terrifying. We all love each other. Well, most of the time. We're trying to. I want more of God. I want new wine. I want him to be able to fizz, bubble, spew, do whatever he needs to, and I want to be flexible enough to allow that to happen. How about you? That means I can't have my insecurity or my uncertainty be the standard by which I measure whether something's of God or not. Is that good? Is that worth saying again? I can't allow my personal insecurity or my personal needs or my comfort, need for comfort, be the measure by which I determine whether something is really from God or not. I just got to say, all right, Lord, I want you to do what you want to do, and I want you to use me. I want you to use my neighbor, and if they act weird, I'm just going to say, God bless them. And if you use me and it's strange or a little different than I'm used to or somebody else is used to, I'm just going to take a deep breath and say, I'm jumping in the deep end. I'm going to tread water with Jesus. Because this church is living in that verse. I don't know how long we're going to be living there, but we're going to live in there a while, at least this year. I know that. For we're going to achieve the dream by building a team in 2013. I'm committed to it. Amen? All right, let's stand. Come on, Sean. Or whoever's going to do whatever up here. Hallelujah. Now, we prayed for everybody earlier. But listen, if you're here and you don't have a real relationship,